We're talking this hour about weird fiction, and so we have to mention H.P. Lovecraft, the godfather of the modern horror story. He died in 1937, but his stories have influenced writers from Stephen King to Joyce Carol Oates to Jorge Luis Borges. And a truly astonishing number of heavy metal bands have written lyrics and even entire albums based on his work. Lovecraft had a special talent for conjuring up things so monstrous, words couldn't quite describe them. A while back, Jim Fleming talked with media theorist Dean Lockwood about how Lovecraft created those trademark creepy atmospheres with sound.
In Lovecraft stories, there's a lot of attention given to the possibility that our exposure to certain weird things in the world will drive us insane. There's that element of insanity. But I think that Lovecraft is perhaps more interested in our bodily responses to horror, affect. So he talks about the way in which sounds, for example, have a kind of physical impact. He describes sounds that are not really sounds, that are something else. He describes them as sense impacts. So I think rather than sound, Lovecraft is really interested in vibration, in some kind of alien vibration flooding our bodies.
And you say that Lovecraft actually defined the weird in sonic terms. What was it exactly that he said?
He says that we should understand the weird as an attitude of awed listening, as if we were listening for the beating of black wings or some kind of scratching at the edge of the known universe.
You also refer to the fantasy writer Fritz Lieber, who thought that Lovecraft was the Copernicus of horror fiction.
Yeah, because he turns everything around. For Lovecraft, the horror is really the cosmos that we find within ourselves. It's the black gulf, the interstellar gulf within humanity. There's something non-human, something alien that's at the heart of our existence. And all of his best stories, I think, are encounters with this otherness, this weirdness within.
Well, let's talk about some of the stories, because it's the best way to define it. One of his most famous is called The Call of... This is a word that everybody disagrees on the pronunciation of.
Sure.
I've always said Cthulhu. Is that close?
I would say Cthulhu, yeah. So these words are a nice device for alienating us from our own speech, our own language.
It's almost easier to see on the page, isn't it? Because the C-T-H-U-L-U, it's almost frightening in of itself.
That's right.
And he uses that sound within his stories, doesn't it? He distances us from our reality by refusing to use just the words we know.
That's right. Part of the experience of reading Lovecraft is to try and get your head around this language, this strange form of expression. And it's not just the individual words or the alien languages that he's invented. It's actually a matter of his style as well. One of the things about Lovecraft is that he has a certain notoriety for being an appalling writer, which I think is probably quite mistaken. I think there's something quite deliberate in the way that his convoluted, contorted style is again a way of introducing a certain kind of alienation into the reading experience.
Well, there's a quote from him that you have in your essay. There are vocal qualities peculiar to men and vocal qualities peculiar to beasts, and it is terrible to hear the one when the source should yield the other. Again, it's taking us out of our comfort zone with common language.
Yeah, the alien presences, the monsters within Lovecraft, the various entities, one of the things that they tend to have in common is that they inveigle themselves into human communities. They imitate human behavior, human language, and human speech. So in a story such as The Whisper in Darkness, it's precisely about discovering that those around you are imposters and that there's something very wrong with them. This idea of mongrel vibrations, there's something mongrel or mixed about humans, that they have this element of alienness within them, which in Lovecraft often manifests in very disturbing ways. It's well known that he was extremely racist. It could be interpreted, this kind of fear of the alien and this preoccupation with the alien is an inflection of that racist, but it becomes something else, I think. It becomes something more kind of existential, you might say.
And it is that sound that taking it into an era that all of us find a little irritating. He especially found insect sounds Well, maybe he found them appealing. I don't know.
I think it's because he's interested in this idea of the strange cosmos in which we find ourselves. That's why I talk about weird ecology. Our lives are entangled with really unsuspected forms of life, ways of being, ways of sensing, new sensations. And one of the ways he figures these new sensations is through imagining a kind of insectile form of life. So insects are his monsters, his creatures. They speak in ways which betray their kinship with insects. So they speak and the language breaks down into a kind of buzzing or rasping, as if they were insects, really.
In this story, in fact, one of the characters makes phonograph recordings, doesn't he? And hears that insectile drone behind the words that he's recording?
That's right.
Ea, Shob Nigorat, the black goat of the woods with 1,000 young.
And in that story, the beings, are they insects?
They're a strange amalgamation of insects. He describes them as having bat wings and having torsos like flying prawns. They're a strange hybrid, a strange chimera of different animal parts that together make up something that is completely unknown.
There's another story that you wrote about, Beyond the Wall of Sleep. In that one, he imagines, a cosmic radio apparatus? What's that?
Well, it's a device which facilitates telepathy and access to these realms beyond, to these spaces that are around us all the time, but our senses aren't equipped to detect. So he imagines that a new technology could be invented which plugs us into those weird realms around us, which is a frightening prospect. Often Lovecraft is made sense of in terms of being a kind of response to society and politics around him, the First World War, for example, or changes in capitalism. But also, I think one of the things that's really remarked upon is that the year that he really starts to write his best-known cosmic horror stories, which is 1926, with Call of Cthulhu, was also the year in which the first national network radio station in America began broadcasting. So the great phase of cosmic horror in Lovecraft's writing coincides with really the inception of commercial radio broadcasting, which he never actually overtly discusses, but it must have had a huge impact upon him. Suddenly these radio sets within the home, the tentacles of commerce creeping into everyday life, a kind of living with this new kind of noise, if you like. I suspect that, given Lovecraft's interest in science and technology, was something that filters through into his stories.
Dean Lockwood is a media theorist at the University of Lincoln in the UK. He talked with Jim Fleming about his essay, Mongrel Vibrations, H.P. Lovecraft's Weird Ecology of Noise.